Hey Coheroes, if you're struggling to wrap your head around the hundreds of additives and synthetic chemicals that are found in our foods, in our cosmetic ingredients, even in many of the household products that you'll just find in our homes, then you're in for a real treat today because we're joined by one of my very own personal eco heroes, Bill Statham, author of The Chemical Maze. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Bill Statham was born in Toowoomba in Queensland and grew up on a dairy farm on the fertile Darling Downs. When he was in his 20s, he told his friends that one day he would write a book. At the time, he had no idea what it would be about, but 20 years later, this dream became a reality when The Chemical Maze, Your Guide to Food Additives and Cosmetic Ingredients, was first published. Little did he realize all those years ago that it would become a bestseller and create an awareness that would change many people's lives for the better. And bestseller it is. The Chemical Maze is now in its fifth edition, has sold around 250,000 copies worldwide in 9 languages, and Bill has recently launched the latest version of the Chemical Maze app for smartphones, including iPhones and Android. So to say that Bill is making a huge difference to so many people's lives would quite possibly be an understatement. And I'm so thrilled to have Bill join me on our Eco Chat today. So let's dive in. Bill Statham, thank you so much for being with me on my show today. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here, Laura.
So now we've got a little bit to cover today, so let's just get right into it. Now, you're really well known for helping so many people break up with synthetic chemicals, particularly in their diets, and in turn helping people improve their quality of life. So may I just ask, where did your idea come from? What led you to create the phenomenon that is the Chemical Maze?
Basically, I was working in alternative therapy, so alternative health practitioner, and I did a lot of my training in England, and then I had a practice in Melbourne, and it was during that time that I looked at what might be in the foods, or initially it was cosmetics, looked at what might be in cosmetic products that might be people are putting on their skin that may be causing the problems that they might have. And I was particularly looking at rashes and that sort of thing at the time. Yep. And I was pretty horrified to find that some of the chemicals that they were using, preservatives, emulsifiers, all sorts of things, could actually cause the very problems that people were complaining about. So I looked a bit further into it and then looked into food additives as well to see what might be in foods that might be causing problems, and was even more horrified to find that a lot of additives in foods could be causing various problems, especially with children. So
yeah.
I was initially going to create a little concertina card that people carry in their wallets, but the amount of research soon outgrew that, and it developed into a little book, which had to be pocket-sized so that people could carry it with them to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. And there was very little around at the time, so that's why I came up with the Chemical Maze, and it's grown from there.
Yeah, so I guess you said there wasn't many things around at the time. So just taking people back a little bit, what was the year when you were trying to pull all this together?
Around about 1999, I guess.
Yep.
Early 2000s, because the first book was published in 2001, April 2001, and it was about 18 months of research prior to that. Although I had some science background, so that made it a little bit easier. So it's 15, 16, 17 years later, Still researching and they're still writing articles for various places. So yeah,
I guess it's one of those things you've got to keep on top of as well, because as we know, new additives and new chemicals are getting made all the time as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, Australia does have like a closed system as far as food additives go, and in that, what I mean is there are a certain number of approved food additives around about the 300 mark, and they've only added probably about maybe 10 or 12 in the last 10 years. Whereas in the US, there's something like over 10,000.
Wow.
You know, that can be added to foods. It's a bit of a nightmare there. So.
Gee. Totally. So if we just focus in on foods a little bit, because obviously some people listening today may not be very up to speed on this topic. So just for someone just starting out and getting their head around some of the food additives, which ones would you suggest that people, I guess, avoid or try and remove from their diets? And what sort of foods or drinks are they commonly found in?
Okay, so
and what are the impacts of those ones as well? So I guess the big ones that we should be avoiding, what are their impacts, and yeah, where are they commonly found?
Well, first of all, I'll talk in categories. So the colours, particularly synthetic colours, although some natural colours people can have problems with, and those are the numbers from starting at 100 through to about 172, and then there's preservatives, which is the next bracket. So there are a number of preservatives that can cause problems with people. I'll come back and I'll highlight some of the particular ones. Flavour enhancers is another group, and people would be familiar with MSG, which is a flavour enhancer.
Totally. It gives my mum suffers migraines whenever she eats it, so she avoids, I guess, the old-fashioned Chinese restaurants like the plague.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, actually more people suffer from problems with MSG than the authorities are willing to put their hand up for. So, and then there are the artificial sweeteners, which is another whole group. So things like 951 aspartame, saccharin, acesulfame, potassium, sucralose. There's a number of those that I recommend that people either avoid or be very wary of. So if we go back and look at some of the particular examples in the colours, you've got 102 tartrazine, which is probably one of the biggest food additives or food colourings that people identify with, it's a yellow colouring. And that can cause a number of problems, learning difficulties, headaches, migraines, behavioural problems in children. Then there's some of the natural ones. Cochineal, which is actually made from mashed up beetles, natural colouring, red colouring. But some people have a problem with that. So there's an example of one that you see where it might be on a label, contains natural colouring. But some people still need to be aware of what it is. And this is where I think, because the book is so invaluable for a lot of people, because, you know, you see a number on a packet and if you don't know what it is, there's no explanation there's no warnings on the packet that say warning contains 102 or warning contains 110. You know, so people are really flying blind.
And I guess just because there are so, you know, like I said, hundreds of them, the numbers, just blur into one after a while if you don't know exactly which ones you want to take out.
And look, not all food additives are bad, of course. Citric acid, vitamin C is a food additive that's quite safe. It's actually a vitamin, so. You know, I've had people say to me, I don't buy anything if it's got a number on it. You know, it's really a bit more complicated. You need to be aware of which ones are good and which ones are bad. And of the 300-odd that are authorised for use, I found that only around about the 50 or so are ones that I would say avoid or be particularly wary of.
Yeah, okay. Rightio, and what about cosmetics? As we know, you've got quite a big section on cosmetics in the chemical maze now. So just for the listeners today, which just to sum it up, just in two or three of the big ones I know, and obviously endocrine disrupting chemical ones there, but which are the three that we really should be looking out for? Three.
A couple that are probably fairly well known to people are sodium lauryl sulfate and propylene glycol. Mm-hmm. They can cause various problems, and it, depending on where the source is, actually say that they can be carcinogenic. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but I certainly put them in the category of things to avoid.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, of course, then you've got a whole category of the fragrances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes seen as parfum, P-A-A-F-U-M, on a product. And mm-hmm. those are composed of anywhere from hundreds to thousands of various chemicals, many of which are petroleum-derived, and many of which also have phthalates, spelled P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. And those are chemicals which are known endocrine disruptors, so they can cause all hormone imbalance within the body, and also in environmental circumstances as well. And those
sure.
are used in, are used a bit like carriers in cosmetic products in order to be able to release the actual fragrance. So it's mm-hmm. like they hold the fragrance.
Okay. Obviously, in the show notes for this episode and also in the link below in iTunes, I'll have a link through to the Chemical Maze. So if you're keen to get your hand on that book, which I do strongly recommend, you can always click through to there. And also Bill's one of our guest experts in the Home Detox Bootcamp, where he comes in and has a little bit of a chat on this topic and makes himself available very generously to our Home Detox community to ask questions. Yeah,
and
one day every time we run.
Of course, there's also the app.
Of course.
Or that, well,
yeah.
iPhone and app for Android as well.
So Bill, with the amount of knowledge you've gained over the years with all your research, I'm really keen to know how you keep it real and how you can just enjoy living in the modern world without, escaping to a hemp tent in the forest. So how do you stop yourself just from becoming obsessive about avoiding additives and synthetic chemicals in your, in your diet and in your lifestyle and everything like that? How do you keep it real?
Okay, well, first of all, I live in the country.
Mm-hmm. Small country. Thumbs up for that.
Yes.
Yep.
Which I choose to do. I don't like big cities. And I understand that that's certainly not possible for a lot of people. You know, they work in the city.
Their
whole lives around the city. So, but there are various things you can do. I drink rainwater, filtered rainwater. Mm-hmm. So I'm avoiding the sodium chloride in the water that they put in
yep.
most of the water supplies in Australia. There are some filters you can buy to actually get that out of your water. That's better if you can have a rainwater tank. And I have a garden that is an organic garden, so yep. I'm eating as much produce that we grow ourselves, fruit trees and berry bushes and the like, and I don't use any synthetic chemicals at all on any of those things.
Fantastic.
That I grow. So I guess in the early days when I was first doing the research, it used to get to me a bit. I'd get really angry when I found that mm-hmm. what food companies and cosmetic industry were getting away with. In fact, there's virtually no regulation involved, certainly as far as what goes into cosmetic ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of the ingredients are ever tested or at least properly tested. To go into, and even in foods with food additives, a lot of the additives that have undergone what's, or they've been grandfathered in. So when regulations came into force, because they've been in use for so many years and never been properly tested, they didn't have to undergo any testing.
Because they assumed that,
they were safe.
Been around for so long, there isn't a problem.
But, I mean, the big problem with that is there's never ever any long-term testing ever been done on the chronic effects of food additives, let alone the accumulative effect of them.
Mm-hmm.
So once you can know, you know, what one particular additive may cause by doing trials and so forth, but if you ever found a packaged food in a supermarket, processed food has had just one food additive in it. So, you know, the combination of quite a number of them, it's who knows what effects that they can cause. And there are various examples of when you put two reasonably benign food additives together, you can get quite a serious effect. An example, I'll just give you one quick example.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it's like a chemical reaction, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And one is, I think from memory, it's sodium benzoate, and which is a preservative, 211, and citric acid. And combined in a juice, so that you've got the preservative in the juice, it was actually producing benzene, which is a carcinogen. Benzene from the which is normally derived from the petroleum industry, but it was producing benzene, and some levels were so high that they had about 10 times the legal limit products, so they had to be withdrawn from the market. So it's just one small example.
Something definitely to be wary of. So, like, I know we've caught up in person and we've had a little bit of chat of other things that we do in our lives, and you've touched on your veggie garden and things like that. So I know your interests go far beyond additives in our foods and cosmetics, and that, I guess, you're an environmentalist in your own right. So have you always been this way, or what sort of kick-started you on your eco journey? Did it just happen, or was it the way that you've just continued living how you were brought up?
Yeah, I was brought up on a farm. I think we went to a farm when I was about 2 or 3 years of age, and I was on the farm till I was about 15. So I was always interested in growing things. I had a veggie garden and so forth. It wasn't an organic farm, and I know my father used to use pesticides and so forth on the property. But I think I've always been interested in environmental issues. One of the things that sort of driven me a bit from the very beginning, and I think if I trace it back, it's probably been right throughout my life. I don't like big companies with huge amounts of revenue and power. Lording it over everybody and seemingly to be immune to any ethics around. Safety, even to the point of where when it's pointed out, they'll cover it up for, you know, so bit of a crusader in that point. You know, I don't like the way the companies get away with what they get away with. And having done 15 years of research, it's pretty horrific at times what you uncover as to, you know, how companies can operate and get away with things. And the only way that can happen is if there's complicity there with various powers that be.
Yeah. So am I hearing that there's some other environmental issues in there that you might be really passionate about?
I guess, you know, I don't like the way that companies destroy the environment for their profits.
The economic gain.
And looking after their shareholders and, you know, the economic gain. And there's so many examples of that, and the environment suffers, and eventually if the environment suffers, the people who live in the environment are going to suffer as a result of that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So I guess what's next for you? So you've ticked off a few big things in your life so far. Have you got any exciting projects or hobbies on the horizon?
No, I wouldn't say there's anything I continue to do my research with the chemical maize, and as far as like producing updates, which will probably come more on the app, updating the app more regularly with content. The interesting, as the as book sales have dropped off after 2009, when a number of bookstores went under, Angus and Roberts and the like, our book sales have steadily declined.
Yeah.
But our app sales have gone up. In fact, in a couple of instances, especially when I was promoting the app, and it was when the last edition of the Chemical Maze Shopping Companion was released. I was on Sunrise and Current Affair and other programs, and it was after being appearing on the Current Affair, about 2011, app sales went through the roof.
Wow.
So, in fact, we got to number 4 on iTunes.
Yep, in the App Store.
All of the apps. So I think only thing that beat us was 3 games, and I may have been Angry Birds when it was in a heyday, might have been one of them.
Yeah.
But it's recently reoccurred with a story that appeared on Channel 7 News in Sydney, following a sunrise segment. And right at the very end of this Channel 7 News segment, it mentioned I need to get the chemical maize. And this is on Channel 7 News.
Yeah, yeah.
And our app sales skyrocketed again. Again, we went to number 4 on iTunes. And by this time, we now got the Android. We didn't have the Android app the original time. The Android app went to number 8 on Google Play. And that's not just in the segment that it actually appears. That's overall apps in Australia.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's fantastic. I mean, that's testament to the quality of the research that you've done, and I know the word of mouth for the chemical maize is huge, and it's definitely that's one of the main reasons I wanted to get you on the podcast today, to share the message and to all those people that are, I guess, struggling with some even food intolerances or just some their kids reacting to some foods, but that it goes a lot deeper than that in our products and things like that, and why I'm just so stoked that you're also a guest expert in the Home Detox Bootcamp. But just leading back on to the app and the book and just everything, so where can we best find you and best find you online as well for anyone listening today that does want to go out there and look you up and get their hands on your book or your app?
Well, that's pretty simple. The website is www.chemicalmaze.com.
And I'll pop the links below so people can just come straight through from iTunes as well.
Yeah, if you're interested in the app, either Android or you can just go straight to our website and just click through on either Apple or iTunes or Google Play.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Bill. Congratulations on everything that you've done to develop this fantastic resource that I guess people all around the world are using to improve their health and also the health of our environment as well by reducing our use and production of a lot of these synthetic chemicals as well. So congratulations first, and thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks, Laura, for having me on. It's been great to speak with you today.
Thanks a lot, Bill. I wish you all the best. See ya.
Yes, bye.
So there you have it, Bill Statham, a real pioneer in the food additive space in particular, but really just the chemical research space, particular all the chemicals that are toxins in our diets, in our body products, in our cosmetics, and even in our cleaning products too. So Bill really is a pioneer in the space, and we're very lucky to have him on the EcoChat podcast today. So to make it super easy for you to start breaking up with some food additives in your diet, we have a fantastic freebie for today's episode. So you can get your hands on a lovely PDF guide, the top 10 food additives you need to avoid in your diet. So head over to lauratrotter.com/chemical-maize. In that download as well, you'll also have a bit of notes behind food additives and why they're a bit of a concern, and also some links to where you can get your hands on your very own copy of The Chemical Maize Bookshelf Companion or Shopping Guide as well by Bill Statham. And of course, if you're ready to take your step further and create a healthier, cleaner, greener home, you might also want to check out my Home Detox Bootcamp, of which Bill is one of our amazing and fabulous guest experts. So head on over to homedetoxbootcamp.com. The doors are open right now. There's an early bird special where you can save $100 if you register before February the 17th. So head on over there, check it all out, and if you're ready to take that next step in reducing your exposure to toxins in your home, I would love to have you join me and the amazing and growing community of like-minded people we've got in our community to help you and support you on your journey to a chemical-free home. All right, so I hope you enjoyed today's Eco Chat. That's all for today. Don't forget to download your freebie at lauratrotter.com/chemical-maize. Get on top of that, start breaking up with food additives in your diet, and go out there and help make green greens green. Catch you later. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.